Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and he who made us. We are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Come before him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. It says Proverbs 12:18, the Message version, it says, "Rash language cuts and maims, but there is healing in the words of the wise." I like that a lot, and I want to say something about that. I want to take something out of that. You never know what a person has gone through in a day, and you never know. But one thing is, one smile, one nice thing could just change a person's day and make them feel much better in life, and just because you never know what a person might be going through in a day or for a while. So just when you leave, don't ever say something not nice, and always smile and always be kind to others, and because you never know, it could fix their day. And so with that, let's have a great service. Thank all of y'all. God bless.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this last Sunday in July. We're almost finished half of the year. Now we're getting the second half of the year. It's getting hot out there. You can see that. We need a lot of rain too. Thanks for joining here and also online for worshiping together. God has given us one more day to live in this world. It's a gift from God. So let us use the opportunity and the time that you have given us in this world to be alive. Not because of our merits, only because of God's grace that we are here today. So let us worship God together. The announcements are on the back, second page in the bulletin. Those regular announcements, I don't have anything special except the third Thursday luncheon will be on August 21st at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral. And today we will have the celebration Sunday. We will have a special prayer, and also we'll have lunch after service. Please join. Everybody's invited to that lunch in the fellowship hall. Next Sunday, August 3rd, we will celebrate Holy Communion jointly with the Hispanic ministry. All are invited to the Lord's table next Sunday also. Anybody have any special announcements, anything else that I missed? If not, thank you for your continued and faithful support to the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us to do in this community faithfully with all the opportunities that God has given us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, stand for the opening hymn, hymn number 98, "To God Be the Glory."
And who truly believes that
that moment from Jesus a pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. The glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder of transport. When Jesus we see, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Everlasting, almighty and eternal God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name in this church and also online to worship you. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. Our life is a gift from you, O God. And we thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies to get up this morning and to be here to worship you, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our midst today. You are the God who not only redeemed us, who sustains us every day. With all the things that we need, you give us everything according to our needs. We thank you above all for the grace and redemption you have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you open the way to eternal life to every nation and race and language by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you again for your presence, Lord, through your Spirit. Guide us and help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you, we worship you, O Lord. Let your presence touch us. Let your word empower us as we meditate on your word. May the songs we sing here today, the prayers we make, and all the words that we meditate on here today bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Well, you can sit back and relax today for the congregation choice. Lisa and Jace are going to present it for us.
Oh, good. Please enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God for that. My mom turned 96 this week. So they had a little celebration. We looked at the video. If nobody else has any call outs, let us have a prayer together. If you can turn with me to the prayer book, in the blue book at 481. We will pray that prayer of St. Francis together. Let's pray together. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not see much, consoled, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life, family and friends, and all the blessings that you give us every day. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you gave eternal life, through whom that we have access to the kingdom of God. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us, even when we were yet sinners. You died for us. We thank you for all of those people who are celebrating various birthdays and anniversaries and many blessings in their lives. You are the giver of life. And help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Guide these people with your spirit every day, O God. Renew them with your blessings. As they step into your new year, cover them with your love, comfort them with your joyful presence, and confirm them in hope. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with love and service for you and for others. Through the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll read the responsive reading now. It is Psalm 148. It is on page 861. If you are able, please stand for the responsive reading. 861. Please stand.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars.
Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who command, and they will create it.
Who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, she monsters, and all depths.
Fire and hail, snow and smoke, stony vineyard, fulfilling God's command.
Mountain and hills, fruit, trees, and all cedars.
Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all people, princes, and rule all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above the earth and the heaven.
God has raised up a throne for his people, praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel, who are near their God, praise the Lord.
The Lord of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This is the time that we bring our prayers of blessings and together and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives, and also we bring our prayers of burdens and concerns, not only for ourselves but also for others, to intercede before God for the needs of other people also. So let us spend our time in prayer at this time. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin, the boxes listed there. Please use this as a reminder for you to pray every day for these people and these items. Continue to pray for Jim McPrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basor, Carol Clements, Wayne Clements, and Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, and Ed and Bud Law. Wayne is going to have his surgery Tuesday for his knee, so please keep him in our prayers. And he may need 1 or 2 weeks, hopefully, rest. So please keep him and Carol in our prayers as well. So the surgery will be a success without any complications, that God will give him the grace for those who are doing the surgery, the doctors and the nurses. And Harry Basor and Jan, they're doing okay. She called me yesterday and said they are going to be moving back to Atlanta. So they're coming back down, and they said, can we come back to church? I said, of course. No. If not, she already has a key anyway. So I said, you can always come in. So she has the key there. So they are very excited coming back, probably towards the end of September.
Right?
And Lou is helping them looking for a place somewhere here. And they have looked at a couple of places, and I'm also looking around. If you know any independent living, that's what I'm looking for. So if you have any referrals, please let me or Lou know, and we'll let them know.
I would like to add one person to the list. It's my nephew, Harry Crumley. Monday he went into surgery in Valdosta for a carotid artery on the left side. He came out thinking everything was good. He had 3 mini strokes and bleeding. They put him back in surgery. They came out thinking he was good. He had bleeding inside and other complications. They put him back in surgery that night, drained the lungs of blood. He's on a ventilator. His MRI shows left damage and speech damage, and he's only 2 years younger than me.
Crumley?
Harry Crumley, C-R-U-M-L-E-Y.
We pray for Harry during this time, and also pray for their families for comfort and peace.
I would like to add my sister Lewis back to the prayer. She called me on yesterday, and she has another problem with her brain. On the vessel, they said it was calcified in her brain.
What's the name of it?
Lewis Thompson.
But we prayed for him last time.
I also asked you to pray for the Johnson family.
Johnson?
Johnson. Jerry Johnson. In Mississippi, Reverend Johnson, which was my last mentor in the Methodist Church. And we became real good friends. And I took him in as my son. And he passed away after teaching his Bible class. He drove home and he had a massive heart attack right then. His truck, he was only 60. Right, well, he was going to be 66 this year. So, he's the third one of my friends that I was close to in the Methodist church. That had just dropped dead. The other one, his wife came home and found him on the floor. He had died from a heart attack. And the other one was 59. He was 56, 65, and the other one was 59. Hmm. And he died in his car coming from church.
Pray for the family of Satish Thomas, the Thomas family. They came back from India after their vacation, and it's very difficult for them. They went together with their dad, coming back without their dad. So please keep them in our prayers. And the dad was buried back in India because he died close to on his transit in Abu Dhabi. So he died in a hotel while waiting for the next flight. Things happen. Life is short, so they are really torn apart by this death, unexpected, and this unusual circumstances, all kinds of troubles. They had to get the body back to. So the easiest way was to get it closer to India and bury there. That's what they did. So please keep them in our prayers for peace and comfort during this time. Anybody else? Anything? Any call-outs? If there are no other calls, let us go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer, then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Scripture says like this: He who formed you is saying, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and your name is written in the palm of my hands." Loving and gracious God, we thank you for always listening to our prayers. Even when we had been unfaithful to you, your faithfulness still remains the same. It's from everlasting to everlasting, and it's new every morning. Thank you, God, for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. As we are alive today, it is only because of your grace and not because of our works. We thank you again for the gift of your Son, who came to this world to die for us and rose from the dead, through whom we have eternal life. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you gave us to be our comforter and our counselor and our guide every day. We come before you as your children with our needs and our burdens also, O God. We come before you as broken people, broken by sin, broken by burdens of this life, the cares of this world. But your scripture says that youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you are our friend, and when we go through life's sorrows and grief, you are our only comfort and peace. You give us the peace that the world cannot take away and the world could not give. Grant healing to our bodies, O God, that who are looking for healing, Lord. We pray for Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Wayne, Jerry, Sean and Amy Conway, Ed and Bertaloo that we named here. We lift these people up into your hands, O God, especially Wayne as he's going for surgery this coming week. We pray for your special healing hand to be on him. And also give him the doctors and the nurses the wisdom and the skills that they need to do the right things and make a successful surgery for him without any complications. We pray for all of those who are going through various procedures and surgeries in the hospitals. Pray for your grace upon them, O God. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for the family of Johnson family as they are grieving, and we pray for the family of Thomas who is grieving at the death of Satish. Bless them with your peace and comforting presence at this time, O God. We pray for Harry Crumley, who is in the hospital. We pray for your healing hand to touch him at this moment, O God, as we lift him up. Strengthen him, Lord, in his faith. Pray for his family to have peace during this time. We pray for Louis Thompson, as she is also going back to the procedures and the treatment that she needs. We pray for your grace upon her. Strengthen her in her faith, O God. Bless her with your grace and bless the family with your peace. We pray for all those who are struggling with various health issues. Especially we lift up Harry and Jan. As Harry is struggling with his Parkinson's, we pray for your grace upon him as they are planning on their move down here again. Bless them, Lord, with the right choice for their place to live, and guide them and keep them safe in their move back here. Help us to have a good time together, to enjoy the presence of each other, to worship together here, O God. We pray for all those who are working behind the scenes to help us and service us, our service workers, military, fire, police, trash workers, grocery clerks, construction workers, and farmers, and many, many others behind the scenes working as we move on with our lives every day. We thank you for their services. Bless them, O God, with your grace every day, and bless their families. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and governors, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives. Give them the wisdom to the right decisions, and also give them the fear of God in their hearts, O God. We pray for the leadership that they will bring unity and peace to this country. And also we pray for the world leaders that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring an end to all the wars around the world and also bring peace to this world. We pray for our church and we thank you for this opportunity that you gave us in this community to be your witnesses. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using those opportunities to serve you and serve others, to share your love and care and compassion to a needy community around us. We pray for all the churches in coming and around us, Lord. Bless them as we worship together to lift up your name, and also to reach out to the people who are in need, not only physically but also spiritually. We pray for the world church at large, in many ways, in many different types of work that they are doing in many parts of the world, especially in oppositions and troubles. We pray for your strength of the Holy Spirit to empower them to be strong witnesses for your kingdom wherever they are. Bless all of those who are working as missionaries in many, many difficult countries around the world. We pray for your grace upon them. Lord, we pray that you be with us today. Lord, help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, that your name be lifted up in all the songs and the prayers and the meditation of the word, and the lunch we partake today will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. Bless us with your word today and empower us, Lord. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We pray that you bless this offertory and have all of this just go toward being able to let people know you and the goodness in you and just multiply these offerings. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 23. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with circumcision, not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belonged to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with the things that are all destined to perish with use, are based merely on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us for life and spirit. As we live out our life in this world, we need your word to be our life and guide every day, O God. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this world as the living word, and he lived among us and then rose from the dead, that we can have eternity with you. As we meditate on the word, Lord, speak to us through your Holy Spirit so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today, and to follow the commandments that you give us to follow every day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue with the study of the books of Paul that were written from the prison in Rome, Paul wrote how many books? 4 books. So you don't forget that. So keep on reminding you, because Ephesians, we went through the whole book of Ephesians. Then Ephesians, Philippians, we didn't do that. We'll continue. And then Colossians is the 3rd book. 3 books written to churches. Can you hear me? Okay, because I can hear one here. So, and the 4th book is a book written to a person, Philemon. We will also discuss that as we come to that. I think it is a time that the church spent in summer, that we take time to study the doctrines and a little theology, if you don't mind, that we can understand what we believe and why we believe these things. Sometimes we don't take time to understand and pause to analyze our faith and understand why we believe certain things and what is the foundation. We need to understand and learn these things, especially when people are going door to door and knocking and telling you that they are coming from Jesus Christ. And I had two visitors like that and said, we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. When I talk to them, they don't believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But they do preach about Jesus Christ, and they come to you as witnesses for Christ. So that is why we need to understand the doctrines and the faith that we have a foundation. We have to have a foundation on this. And there is a lot of hollow and deceptive doctrines. That's what Paul says when he teaches the people in Colossae. And I told you the people in Colossae, he never met them. He never been to Colossae, but his friend Epaphras, who started the church, came to the prison and visited Paul and gave him a report of the new church. And they were so all excited and thrilled to see the church was growing. Along with the growth, I don't have to tell you that there's a lot of conflicting philosophies, and people bring from various cultures, bring their own style of worship and also doctrines along with them. And some of them were questioning the authority of Jesus, even though they know that he's a good prophet, he's a good teacher to follow, but they don't yet understand the divine nature of Jesus Christ. They did not want to believe at that time. And also, they were also adding, some of them were also saying that, yes, Jesus Christ himself is God, we believe in him, but also we need these gods that we wanted in our family gods or our traditional gods. So we want all of these things together. That was the situation in that church, and Paul was writing this letter to a church that he does not know and encourage them to stay strong in the faith and have a solid foundation of Jesus Christ being the Son of God and the only God that you need and the only way to salvation and eternal life. But it is a very strong doctrine. Even today, when you preach the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, some people don't want to believe it. Amen. How about all other people? Mm-hmm. So do you want to preach a gospel that is pleasing to the ears, or do you want to preach the true gospel? That is what we need to make a decision on. We already did make a decision on several things. And we disaffiliated. That is one of the things that we stood our ground on, the doctrine that we believe.
Amen.
That God made man in his image as. And when he created them male and female. It's the verse in the Bible. When God created man, he created them as male and female. Not the, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H letters that go with us. Yeah. I mean, we have to take a stand. Sometimes we don't get the political correctness right. So you may not be a popular guy in certain situations, especially in the secular work field. When you are there, they forced me towards the end of my career to change my title to something else. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. You have to declare yourself as a he or a she or a they. And I said, I'm not going to change anything that I gave you when you hired me. You hired me as a person, and you know who I am, and I know who I am, and I don't have to declare again. And that was a big problem at that company. So eventually I retired from there without big problems. But that's the kind of world that we live in. That's the kind of world we are living. So we need to be rooted in our faith, in our doctrine, to understand what we believe in all of these kind of philosophies. And then Paul says that these are hollow and deceptive philosophy. What does that mean when it say hollow? What does it mean when it's hollow? Hollow means, to me, it sounds like empty, right? Mm-hmm. Empty doctrines. Say somebody gave you a gift, a beautifully wrapped box. And they give you that and say, this holds the secret life, a secret to a better life. And you and your friends started to line up and receive that gift. And when you start opening that gift one after the other, so many wrappings you have to open. And finally you unwrap, and finally you find nothing in it. That's an empty box with a lot of wrappings. Beautiful on the outside, but empty on the inside. Paul says that these teachings can capture your mind, even though they have no power to save or transform our lives. We want something that is full, not an empty box. And people gather in these places thinking that they can receive something, because it is very pleasing to their ears. You can hear stories. You can hear experiences, people claiming that they received these things from God. A Mercedes or a BMW?
Yes.
If you go to a certain church, that's what they're praying for.
Amen.
But that is not scriptural. When I studied the Bible, with the limited study that I have, that it doesn't say anywhere that your physical and material blessings is the reason why you have to believe in Jesus Christ. It is because the spiritual blessing that God gave us, material will come after that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and
yes,
all the other things will be added unto you.
Yes.
Yes, we need healing in our bodies. But that is not the reason why I trust in God. Yes, I need healing. But if healing is the only thing that I receive, reason that I trust in God, then what is my faith on? If I don't get the healing, then there is no God. That is what happened to a lot of people. A lot of people wander away from their faith because they trust on these things, the material blessings, the physical blessings. And when they don't receive them, they falter away from God and don't have faith in God.
Amen.
The well-known guy in Atlanta, our own Turner. The CNN guy.
Ted Turner.
He was a believer at one point. And his sister was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And he was a good believer. And he fasted and prayed for healing for his sister. This was when he was in his younger years. He honestly prayed. And I mean, he was an honest guy, an honest believer. But she died. And that kicked him out of the faith. And he never came back to his faith after that. He said he doesn't believe in God after that. It's one of the examples, and so many examples like that. So if you base your faith, your doctrine on these kind of things, God does not change, and God is still there.
Yes.
Turner may have changed, but God is still God. So we don't base our foundation on any of the material things. They will all come according to God's purpose in our lives. We give it to God. And it's God's will that we receive a certain things or we don't receive certain things. But that is not the foundation of our faith. It should not be our foundation of the faith. And a lot of people gather in these churches where they preach these kind of things and say, this is one way to get these things and this is one way to achieve these things. And people go there and you see these mega churches and big crowds. People are pulling and preaching there. Recently, someone shared a story after seeing one of these crowd, big church, and their sermons are not based on these kind of doctrines. Their sermons are based on physical blessings and material blessings. And one of the people who shared this story, that when he was a teenager, they lived in a small little town, and he and his friends would go to the downtown area on the weekends when people start gathering in the streets. And he and his friends would go and stand on a busy street corner, and one of them would look up into the sky and say, yes, it is. And the other one say, no, it is not. They would go back and forth like this for a long time after people started gathering around them. All these people would be looking up at the sky along with them, and one of them said, yes, it is, and the other would say, it is not. And when they have a big crowd, Jimmy and his friends would quietly and slowly slip out of the crowd and go to a corner and watch this crowd looking at the sky, looking nothing. they would lean against the wall and get a good chuckle as everyone be looking up at the sky or nothing. That's what they used to play when they were kids. This is what happens in these churches. They say, come here, we have all of these things you can see. But when you go there, you will see emptiness and hollow doctrine, which is not full. The fullness of God is in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. Jesus Christ is the fullness of deity, lives in bodily form. In verse 9, we read that. So when Paul teaches these things, it is also applying to us. In Jude, the book of Jude, it says that these people are like clouds without water. In the area of the subdivision that we live, I don't know what the problem there is. About a 5-mile radius, we never get these rains. And my son calls us and say, hey, they live in about 20 miles from here, and they have thunderstorm and a big heavy rain pouring down there. And in this area where we live, we don't get any rain. So it's only about 5-mile radius. I think we pay the same kind of taxes. I don't know why we don't get rain. Anyway. And when we moved down, there was a little lake in the subdivision. It's all dry with almost no water there now. But the surrounding communities get rain all the time. So when some clouds roll out and say, my wife would say, get excited and say, the clouds are coming. But no rain. Those are the clouds with no water in them. That's what happens to the faith of these churches where people gather together. When there is no Jesus Christ in there. There's no water in the cloud. But you get excited with these clouds and you won't get what you need. The spiritual nourishment that we need, you can only get from God himself through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that is the foundation of our faith. When Paul writes to Timothy, another letter that Paul wrote, not from prison, he is teaching him to preach the word. And preach the word with all its power. In other words, you preach nothing else. Bible, scripture is the only foundation as the book that we believe. All the other books written by other people, we can, you know, use them as references. But our foundation of our faith is Bible and Bible only. We don't need anything else. And you preach the Bible and you preach the Bible only.
Amen.
That's the scripture, that's the word of God. The living, breathing word of God. Human rules are different from biblical rules. Human rules, that's what Paul is telling them. Human rules are good. They are based on do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. So they have that set of instructions, physically do this or do not do this. A lot, most of the religions, almost other religions, other than Christianity, is based on human rules. And they lack substance because in many other religions, you know that they have 10 steps. You can do this, this, and that. Or the 10 commandments for the Jewish people. For the Buddhists, they have certain 5 or 6 steps that they can do. So when you have these steps and you can check them off, it's very easy for us to understand these religions because these are checklists. But Jesus did not give us a checklist. He did not give us a formula. He gave us the only formula. The one only formula is the simplest formula, is that there's only one way to God, and the one way is Jesus Christ and the Son of God who came to this world and through whom we have eternal life. For God sent his own Son to this world, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is what the only doctrine, only faith that Jesus Christ established in this world. Paul describes a set of rules that seem religious of these people, but rooted in human traditions, not in God. The problem with these human traditions and human rules are because they keep changing. They keep changing. I mean, how many changes have we seen in our lifetime? But the good old gospel does not change. It doesn't matter. Thousands of years have passed. God is still the same. The gospel is still the same. And we preach the same good old gospel, which is new every day, to whom we experience in this life. So people who preach these doctrines, human rules, they keep changing according to their needs, according to their desires. If something is not feeling right with their agenda, they change it.
Yes.
Then the rules change. The goalpost, you know, if you have a whatever game that you play, football or baseball or anything, you keep changing the goalpost, would you ever win? You would never win. They keep changing the goalpost all the time. That's what the problem with these human traditions and human rules are. But our goalpost will never change. It is set. And our goal is to be with God in eternity, in this world and the world after. That is what it is. The presence of God that in this life and also in the life to come. The human rules are like broken thermometers or, you know, glucose meter. You all, you know how to use glucose meter. Recently a relative of ours had to be taken to the hospital because she has blood sugar problems. So she has a glucose meter and she tested glucose and she didn't feel well, but the glucose meter showed everything all right. But she collapsed and taken to the hospital and her blood sugar was so low and she figured out that the meter was broken. So don't trust those things as much. If you don't feel well, just go to the doctor, call 911. Don't trust your glucose meter or thermometer, whatever it is. It may not work when you need it and you don't even know it. That is what the problem with these kind of rules. They are broken rules and they keep changing because it is human and humans have limitations. Religious rules can look like holiness, but they don't diagnose or heal the true condition of our lives or our souls. Only God's word and spirit can expose and treat the root cause of our trouble, which is sin. And we need a savior from our sins. And that savior is Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. Human commands are only behavioral modifications, not spiritual modifications. Human rules cannot transform our spirit or our lives. Human commands modify our behaviors, often focused on controlling the outside. You know, you can change your appearance, you can change your lifestyle, or you can call him, her, they, them, what, whatever. It does not change your soul, you transform your life. Amen. The transforming power of God is in the scripture. Through Jesus Christ. Only the Bible, the Word of God, can change the heart of a human being. Nothing else. God's commands lead to life. Man-made rules lead to bondage. The problem with all these rules are they keep on adding one after the other. When we started our constitution, we had a smaller constitution. You know, after amendments, it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like the IRS rules. Do you know what the IRS rules are? Nobody knows. You call IRS, they are confused more than you are. That's because they became so big. That's what human rules do. They become a burden on us. It adds to legalism. You do this, and then somebody says, no, you don't do that, you do this. You go through immersion baptism, and when you go to immersion baptism, somebody else said, did you immerse yourself in a flowing water or a stagnant water? Well, we did it in a tub. A bathtub. Oh, no, that's not right. Jesus Christ taught us, or the apostles always used the Jordan River. It was a flowing river. So you have to get immersed in a flowing river. So what happened to the other baptism that you did? That's the problem with these human rules. These are all human rules. These are not God's rules. There's only one rule in God's kingdom, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's it. All the others are traditions, our baptism, our Holy Communion. All of these things are our traditions and our things that, you know, that we follow. And you can break the bread in this way, or you can share the bread like other people do. Or you drink from one cup, or drink from different cups like we do. It doesn't matter. The style doesn't matter. It is the community and the holiness and the worship we do together is what matters. The unity of spirit is what matters. It doesn't matter what style we do. So this legalism adds to our burdens every day, one after the other. And you probably all heard about Pilgrim's Progress, the famous well-known book written in the 1600s by John Bunyan. And it's a classic of Christian faith. And there is this Christian who has a big burden on his back. And he is leaving his home called the City of Destruction. And he is looking for an eternal city that he calls Celestial City. So he's on a journey. That's what the book is. And he has this burden on his back, the burden of sin that he's carrying. And he wants to get rid of it. So he goes through this life and he meets a lot of different people. He meets with people of different nature, the legal scholars, the civil leaders, and many, many others. So every group that he meets, he will ask them, what do I do to get rid of my burden on my back? So they will tell him, oh, you do this. And then they add one more item to his back. His burden is only getting heavier. And then he goes to the next step, to the civil leaders or politicians, and they'll say, oh, you have been wrong. No, that guy gave you the wrong answer. This is what you do. You know, go through this, and you fill out these forms. And you don't know what you're filling out. Many times we don't even know. You sign at the bottom line, and then you don't know what you took over. And you know you got duped by these politicians and leaders. That and another burden to you. So finally, the book, if you read the book, he meets somebody called the evangelist. He spoke about the freedom that you can experience through the power of the word of God. And finally he takes him to the scripture, the Bible, and he was freed from his sins at the foot of the cross. He laid down his burden at the foot of the cross, and he became a free man. That's what the book is all about. So this is what happens to human rules and legalism. And also when we follow this legalism, these human doctrines, we become judgmental. Spiritual people will never judge others because I am better than them. That's not what God teaches. But the human rules is always comparative. I am richer than the other. I am more famous than the other. Or I live a better life than this other person. We are also comparative religion. That is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about respecting and loving others just as you are. Some people have spiritual superiority complex. They think that we are holier than thou art situation. Christianity does not teach that either. Those who believe in Christ respect others and consider others greater than you are, and live a life that is filled with humility. The sufficiency of Christ is that he is the fullness of God that we talked about that last week. You don't need any other way to salvation. Jesus Christ is the only one to salvation. And he is the one who gave us the door to eternal life. The Bible says that the way to eternity, eternal life, is small. It's a small and narrow gate. It says, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few will find it. It is a narrow gate because there's only one person. You don't have too many ways to go to God. There's only one person, Jesus Christ. It's a narrow gate. And a lot of people look for the wider gate. And when we went to Bahamas, I don't know if you have been to the Caribbean, there is a place where you can go through in the ship. If you are going through the ship, you can see the Atlantic Sea on one side and the Caribbean Sea on the other side. The Atlantic Sea is all dark and deep blue. And the other side, the Caribbean Sea, is like greenish, turquoise, right? You know that. And there are reasons for it. I looked it up, and do you know the water color? That because Atlantic is huge and vast, and the real color of water is blue, but Caribbean Sea is not that deep, and also there's more planktons and vegetation in that tree that gives some chlorophyll. I heard some plants make it greener color. But there is a place where it's called the Eleuthera. There's a glass bridge that they made in one place. It's the narrowest place in the world. That's what they call it. It's a glass bridge. You can go through this ocean. We didn't go through that, but I read about it when we went through the ship in there. You can see the two oceans. But that glass bridge, you walk through it, and on one side is the blue water, and the other side is the green water. And only a few, two people can walk through this glass bridge and get to the other side. It used to be an island that washed away, and they built a glass bridge to get there. It's a very interesting experience. Look it up on Google. You can see the pictures and all that stuff. But that glass bridge, that's the narrow bridge, talk to me about the narrow bridge to that Jesus told us, the narrow way. Jesus taught us is the way to eternity is narrow. And narrow is the gate, and very few will find it. And the many, the big crowd will follow the broader way, the bigger gate, but narrow is the place that you follow to see eternity and to find eternity. The Bible describes the road that leads to eternal life as narrow, and only a few will find it. The gate is considered small because God the Son is the only bridge that can reconcile fallen man and God the Father. Because of our sin, we fell from God's presence. And Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world from heaven to restore us to the Father. And that's the only way to salvation. There is no other way to get there. And that is what we believe, and it is the narrow gate. So may the God, good Lord, bless us with these words as we go from this place to be rooted in faith that is free from burdens, that will make us free when we believe the truth. The closing hymn is Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. It is 362. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn. From empty religion, so that we can walk in the truth that makes us free. May we find joy in obeying God's commands, not out of fear, but out of love for Jesus and God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.